What's up, bitches? This is the Mighty Warriors 3 podcast with Taser. Ha ha.
Three, two, one. Yo, dog, that was Wiggity Whack. This is episode number 76 of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I am your host, MC Iggy. I'm pretty sure I've done this show before. Joining me is Slim Shady himself, Mr. Arnold Alfred. Arnold, welcome to the show.
Yo, snitches.
And, of course, Captain Skeets himself. Taser, welcome to the show.
Fuck Jeff Johns. There you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, unlike one particular podcast I'm part of, we are not rebooting. This is episode number 76. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, which is movies, comics, video games, toys. I will get to my toys section as soon as I can find out if Chris Healy decides to join us again. Because we all know we love to have his slow, boring ass on here. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into it. Well, obviously we have the big Avengers movie coming up soon, and the majority of the focus is on that, or The Dark Knight Rises. But there have also been talks about the Captain America movie, which is set to come out, 2014? Sometime around that time. Hopefully the world doesn't end. But now there's been rumors of some villains. Nothing confirmed, but I want to pose it to you, Taser. You've been the long-time Marvel reader, whether you liked it or not.
Yeah. That's kind of scary.
What Captain America villains, or maybe even other Marvel villains, would you like to see Captain America face in Captain America 2?
You know what would be fun? Batroc the Leaper. You know, I got to say, Batroc the Leaper. Am I saying that right? Batroc the Leaper was a machete. With machete, and I forgot the third guy that he used to pal around with. But I remember those were some good books published way back when with who was it? Not Sienkiewicz. Oh, I can't remember the name of the guy that used to do the art, because his art was freaking amazing. He did that Wolverine / Captain America shield pit. You see the sparks and everything. That was awesome.
Wait. Keep talking. I know I can get the artist right now.
Anyway, we're talking like 70s, early 80s, and
Mike Zeck?
Yes, I loved that stuff. And that's an excellent poster, freaking awesome. I got it on my wall, believe it or not. Yes, I do. Batroc the Leaper as, let's say, middleman, go-between, enforcer kind of dealy, and who would I put as the big villain? It wouldn't be at one person. It would be the organization. Oh crap. No, that's too easy. It would be, what was that group that ended up killing the second, I think it was the second, either the second or the third Captain America, by having those bombs put in their chest, and that's how he thought Sharon Carter died? Oh!
Somebody, if you can know who that is.
Oh, I forgot, but that would be an excellent thing. It was American terrorism. You know, these guys, they were taken, and they were subjugating Americans to their will in order to take over the country, blah, blah, blah. And those that they inducted, they actually had incendiary devices implanted in their chests, so that if you try to betray them or if they felt the need for it, they hit a button and you literally just turned into like, hey, look, I've got a torch in my chest, and woof. And that's what I would do. They would have Batroc and whatever the hell the rest of them were. They would be go-betweens for, crap. I see, this is where my memory fails me. But they would be the go-betweens for this organization actually trying to instead of America, let's make it the world, you know? And let's have it where they're doing something that poisons, I don't know, the water supply or something like that.
Oh, you mean Batman Begins?
Yeah. You know? But something a little more world scale-y.
Oh, okay.
You know? But, yeah, no, that was – because that wouldn't just be like, okay, I can go over here and punch out this guy and that would be it. This is something that he would have to do some traveling for, you know? As a matter of fact, if you make it a world jaunt, you could have not only Batroc, but like other international villains, so to speak, involved. You know, have them go to Japan, China maybe, Russia. Oh, you have him go to Russia, he could fight Red Guardian.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All that past communism he missed.
That would be totally awesome. And I just wish I could remember the name of the organization that did this.
All right, somebody look this up.
You know what I'll do? I'll look it up and I'll post it on our website. But that was a good read, and I do recommend it as soon as I can find the information to tell you where to go.
Me personally, I think I honestly don't want the Red Skull to show up in any kind of fashion. Maybe in sort of a ominous presence kind of thing, but I really don't want him in the movie. I actually would go with, I guess, the obvious Baron Zemo. We didn't see Baron Zemo in the movie, but sort of maybe behind the scenes we see the Red Skull working with Baron Zemo's father, and that, you know, it's his son trying to get revenge. I really, really, really fucking want MODOK. Now, he doesn't have to speak. He doesn't have to be, just in the background with the big head and everything.
Having MODOK right in it, especially with the guy who the director is thinking of having him play him.
MODOK would be cool. And, of course, Armzola would be awesome. Is he the robot man? I don't even know what his nickname is.
They going to have MODOK as big, giant, floating, retarded head, zombie,
yes,
mental guy?
Yes.
I'll see now, because I bet you Dallas to Donuts, they do something else in the movie.
Whatever. I want MODOK that way. Not that way.
they go the Krang route. They make him Krang.
Actually, here's what I actually want. I want the Falcon. Because if for those who don't remember, or it could be history, but from my understanding, the first time Captain America sort of met Sam Wilson, he had been, I guess, tortured / genetically experimented on by the Red Skull, and you can just change that to Baron Zemo. It doesn't matter. To me, they're interchangeable. In a way, in terms of experimenting on the black guy, and they have Sam Wilson be the guy, like, brainwash him, get him on his side, and have him turn on Captain America, you know?
Yeah, Snap Wilson. You want the on-screen Snap Wilson?
No, Sam Wilson.
No, but that's what he called him, Snap Wilson. And he was dressed like a pimp, and, you know, he'll be shucking and jiving and talking like even JJ.
He doesn't have to be that, but I honestly just want to see the
Falcon.
He'll
be a B-boy then. He'll have the hat backwards and, you know, the pants around his ass, you know, with the boxers pulled up and, you know, smacking his bitch and not paying his bills.
stereotypes.
In all honesty, I really just want to see the Falcon. I love not a lot of people know this. I'm a huge fan of Sam Wilson, the Falcon. I don't know why. I just like his look and his powers.
I like the flight thing, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I don't know if I could see a workable Falcon on camera. I just don't know if I could if it's done. I don't know if it can be done.
I think it's a guy who, you know, T'Challa created the wings and they experimented on him so he can see through birds. Not hard to get through. If they can buy this guy who was turned into a skinny little toothpick into this muscular man, they can buy a dude who can see through birds and fly with technology-made wings, I'm pretty sure. I just hope they don't make him a white guy. Arnold, what about you? Who would you want to see? Who do you want? What villain do you want to see in Captain America 2?
I agree with most of the ones that you've been saying with Zemo and Von Strucker. I'm not sure if anybody mentioned that. I think somebody did. And like I said before, the director of the movie is pushing hardcore to have MODOK in it. It seems like a lot of people are fighting him and they don't think it'll work. Again, I'm not sure how many of you guys watch or have watched Game of Thrones, the imp, for lack of a better term, that's what he's called on the show. His name is actually Tyrion Lannister. The actor who plays him is fantastic. He's actually easily become one of my favorite characters on the show and even in the book, and the guy portraying him, whose name escapes me right now. Peter Dinklage, it might be, actually, who's also in the comedy Your Highness that just came out. And he's fantastic. So I think he could pull off that role really well, especially if they wanted to go with the kind of floating head. It seems horrible to say, but, I mean, it does help that he is a small person. But I think he could pull it off. I think it would be great. And you don't have to make him a main villain. You could go the route that they did in the Avengers cartoon and make him be working alongside Baron Zemo or even Von Strucker, whoever you decide to put in. He doesn't have to be the main villain, but he can be a side villain or a cohort of sorts. So I'd be all about that, but Zemo and Strucker are my top ones.
They should just put Wolverine in the movie and have them fight. They recreate that awesome cover.
Why not?
But let's move on to something to another topic. This is going to be on the Thor DVD, which comes out in 2 weeks, and you can go listen to our special edition podcast for Thor to see what we thought about the movie. Where they releasing these one shots called the Consultant, or at least this one's called the Consultant. It's sort of apparently it bridges the movies, The Incredible Hulk, to Iron Man 2, to The Avengers. And it's basically a talking head scene where it's Agent Coulson. And actually, Emil Blonsky comes up and proves that The Incredible Hulk is in Marvel movie continuity and that they haven't forgotten about it. They're talking about the Avengers Initiative. They go to the Army. Apparently, they went to the U.S. Army. And that Blonsky was originally going to be on the Avengers team. You know, of course, they don't want him on there. He's a fucking psychopath. You know, he's dangerous. So apparently the reason Tony Stark shows up at the end of Incredible Hulk was to make sure that Ross gets so pissed off that they want nothing to do with the Avengers Initiative and that Blonsky stays locked up in his cell forever. So there, and apparently the bar that they were at, Tony Stark had bought the bar and closed it down for renovation. Which I thought was hilarious. And then he has to go to New Mexico. That really is it. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like, there's a reason for Tony Stark to go visit General Ross. And that Emil Blonsky he's alive. Because I know there was speculation early on when the movie came out that Hulk killed him. Or he's dead. But, you know, so he's locked up somewhere. And, of course, we all know the leader is still out there. Or becoming the leader. So you know it's cool. It's bridging this universe. Taser, did you see this? If so, thoughts?
No, didn't really get a chance because we were still talking, so I didn't get a chance. Sorry.
Well, what are your thoughts on the whole idea? Like that's the reason that the reason they just sent Tony Stark is to be a patsy to fuck up so bad.
He was a decoy. You know, he was a decoy. That because they didn't want Blonsky on the team because he's an effing lunatic psychopath. You know what? I could see this version of Tony doing that. Although I could also just as easily see Tony just flat out saying, "No, we don't want him." I'd see that as being a lot easier. But as a bit of shtick in regards to Marvel movie continuity. Yeah, I like it. It's a nice idea. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that you can kind of sit back and, hey, look, you know, this kind of bridges the gap and, you know, But for me, again, I didn't really watch it. I like the idea of it, but I can't say anything more other than that.
You'll comment on our
yes, I will.
But I also like that it does connect that The Incredible Hulk, which is one of the probably underrated Marvel movie, it is connected in that The Incredible Hulk does take place after Iron Man, the first Iron Man 2, because he's referred as a consultant, and Tony Stark has made a consultant at the end of Iron Man 2. So there you go. Confirmation. Arnold, what did you think?
I watched it. It was a cool little short. I thought it was fun. I like the guy who plays Agent Coulson. I think he's really funny and really amusing. And his kind of dry, witty humor that he's got in the show and the back-and-forth banter between the two agents was... a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to more of these. They're not a deal breaker or anything. If they're not great or subpar, it's not going to be like I'm not going to be upset or saying that they're ruining things or that. But it's a nice kind of little Easter egg edition, I guess, for people that are into that kind of the same way the after scene credits, we all kind of stick around and wait for those. So I like these that they kind of bridge in the gap, and for those who like to clamor about continuity and stuff, at least we know that this movie universe anyway is trying to keep a tight-knit continuity of sorts as much as possible with the characters that their studio is working on. So it was cool. I think if anybody likes those characters and is interested by seeing little side stuff or how things connect, I think they'll enjoy it. It was a fun little add-on.
All right. Last but not... actually, Arnold, before we move on, do you think they should have used, like, either A, Sam Jackson himself, or Colby Smothers, a.k.a. Maria Hill, as the... on there since they're going to be in the movie versus this no-name black guy? No offense to you, whoever you are.
No, I thought it was just fine with this because it was more looking at... Because, you know, you don't need your quote-unquote big guns. Like, you're already going to have full feature-length movies with all of those characters and stuff in it, all getting a wealth of screen time. And so far, Coulson's only been getting a little bit of screen time here, and I think Thor was the most screen time that he's got since we've seen his appearance. And I liked all of the parts when he was on screen, so I like that it's dealing with the other side characters, because it's more, it kind of just makes it look like, yeah, the big guys are worrying about the big stuff, we can kind of worry about these little odds and ends and making sure everything's going right with what may be seen as little shifty underhanded deeds and white lies to make sure everything goes off okay.
All right, well, yeah, I would have liked to have seen Colby Smothers. She's hot. Well, let's move on to our final sort of topic of the week, I guess. Obviously, we are 1 week into the DC reboot.
Yay!
Arnold is very excited. And you can listen to my thoughts on the DC reboot on episode 1 of D-Cups coming up this week.
D-Cups!
D-Cups!
But the question, Patrick Zerker has been approached, and he said Marvel should reboot. Tom Brevoort, at one of the top editors at Marvel, has been approached, and he said Marvel will not reboot. Obviously, the comics industry, at least in the past, for years, not even in the past 10 years, for years, has been a game of copycat, in that one company does something well, the other company copies it, changes a little bit, and then they're on their way. Obviously, Marvel did do a quote-unquote some kind of reboot back in the late 90s with Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, all the Image guys, basically, with Heroes Reborn, which was atrocious. But they left themselves with an out with that whole Pocket Universe shit that I'm not even sure clearly what the fuck happened. And, of course, Bob Harris. Quick yes or no, guys. Taser, do you think Marvel should reboot the universe, start everything from scratch?
Let's see. What's the exact opposite of the word on? Oh, yeah, it's no. There's no justifiable reason for Marvel to reboot itself. They're not suffering in sales. People aren't confused with the continuity. People aren't confused with multiple versions of the same character. There's no real reason, unless you want to say, oh, well, the artists, they can't do everything, whether it be the writer or the actual person who draws, they can't tell exactly the story that they want to because they're hammered in by, 50 years of content, or whatever. You know, that's just all bull crap, you know? I mean, let's be real here. If you have a character that's gone for more than 6 months and a steady book that's come out once a month, you're going to have continuity. The fact that you can't tell Spider-Man flies off into space because we've been reading about him for the past 40 years where we've seen him not be able to fly into space, because you can't tell that story does not mean that we have to reboot. So, you know what? Tell a different story. Go a different route. Do something completely different. Don't, pout and then go, oh, I'm hammered in, I can't be as creative as I want to, blah, blah, blah. I've heard that argument, and it's effing lame. You know what? Anybody who wants Marvel to reboot, seriously, take a high dive off a very tall pier onto concrete. You know, filled with spikes and some boiling acid. Do me that favor. Thank you. This has been Taser.
All right, Arnold, what about you? Do you think Marvel should do a start from scratch reboot?
No. As Tazer said, he hit pretty much all the nails on the head. It's not necessary. For Marvel to do it, it's not necessary. They, as Tazer said, they're not hurting for money. It's not like they have to go out of their way to try and reach the quote-unquote younger crowd or younger generation, because it kids everywhere on the planet, especially in, with as far as comics are concerned, with Marvel, any child on the planet can tell you who Spider-Man is, and you know, not know that there are, and not have to know that there may or may not be 19 versions of them, like the Flash, or like, you know, Green Lantern, or like this, that they've all called Legacy. So it's not like, oh, this is the Flash, yeah, but which one? Oh, this is Green Lantern, yeah, but which one? This is Bat so-and-so, yeah, but which one? You know, it gets confusing. Spider-Man, you know, it's Spider-Man. Even if you have people with the same kind of base of power set, like all the Spider people running around, they're distinguishable enough that you don't have to reboot a whole thing because it's too confusing for people and they can't keep track of one and not the other. I think now Marvel is doing better with their continuity of sorts, even though continuity is never that big of a deal for me. They are doing a good job of unifying all of their members, and everything is all kind of cohesive, and one thing is happening in one book, and you're seeing the effects of it in another book where, you know, everything's not all scatterbrained, but still trying to be tied together for the major event that's coming up. So I don't think a reboot's necessary at all. I think they're doing fine with what they've got. Their events that are coming out are still trucking along. They're still at the top of sales, as far as I know. So reboot, not necessary. I think a reboot would actually end up hurting them more than it would benefiting them.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
Well, they're right now. Well, I mean, even we're only 1 week into the DC reboot, so it's kind of hard to tell. But in terms of sales and quality-wise, I mean, Marvel's still kicking DC's ass. So, well, honestly, as much as I brought up this question, I wouldn't be mad if Marvel decided to start from scratch. But I also kind of don't want it to happen. Marvel, again, for all the reasons you guys stated, Marvel has never been that company. They've been on top for years. You know, up until this mid part in the 90s where things just went really bad. They've been, and especially in the last 10 years, they've been on top. You know, if anything, reboot the X-Men. With its, you know.
Yeah, but is X-Men continuity that confusing?
To a lot of people, not to writers, to a lot of people I've talked to in my comic store, have said I can't read X-Men comics because there's just relies on too many hints to the past that I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yes and no. But in terms of the X-Men have technically already had a reboot. It was called House of M.
No, I'm serious.
When M-Day happened and you got rid of all of these mutants and stuff, it was because there were too many fucking mutants running around and people didn't know what to do with them. So
the X-Men had never existed, and boom, no. Day one.
I really don't think that's necessary. Especially with all this Regenesis stuff going on.
Obviously, but I mean, before then. I think the X-Men are out of all the books, the entire line, they're the ones that need not desperately need, but if they rebooted the line, I'm not going to be sorry for it. But if anything that I do, hey, if you're going to reboot one line of comics, it'd be the X-Men, despite that they're selling the best and they're the best quality coming out of Marvel.
Challenge!
Avengers, and don't give us 19 teams of them.
I have a challenge. I challenge that. I say you will find this same problem with any book that goes on for as long as it has and has within its core a multitude of characters.
Right.
Any title that has seven or more characters and it has a revolving cast at that will run into the same problem eventually. I don't think you need to reboot at that point. If anything, you might need to consolidate a bit, but rebooting a line, no. Because remember, we're not talking restart everything and then just changing every, you know, just changing a little. Reboot is a whole big thing.
It's John Steele.
It's a whole
John Byrne,
big
Man
thing.
Of Steel, 1980.
Yeah, see, that's what, no, I X-Men do not need that. If
right.
anything, you the people that are complaining, oh, it's too complicated, it's because they've had backstory. If you want something that doesn't involve backstory, read Archie Comics. All right?
And
seriously. But
the whole reboot, I'm sorry, say it again.
No, with if you want to have something that you're not going to pick up X-Men, you're not going to pick up any book that's come out since 1960 whatever and is still in print, even if it's been canceled for like 1 or 2 months, but you know currently it's still in print. And not run into, well, who's that person? They're talking about him as if they're an old friend. I don't know who that is. You're going to run into that. You know, it is completely unrealistic for somebody to pick up the book now and then know everything because it's not a number one. If you want a number one, pick up a number one. If you want something that's got backstory, well, then you can just pick up almost every other book.
And most writers today write it as if, again, I don't necessarily want to reboot, but if anything, if they were going to reboot, I would reboot that. The X-Men, but like I mean, like Daredevil number one or Punisher number one, you don't need to know anything about those characters, and you know everything's pretty much laid out there. And anything that we'll run into, that's from reference to past thing. You know, most writers today acknowledge everybody's comic book is their first, so they'll explain it in some way. At least that's my experience.
But at least with Daredevil pretty much tells you, yeah, a lot of stuff happened, but you know, within the context of Matt Murdock. I'm trying to ignore a lot of shit, you know, which is easier for the writer. it's brighter. It changes the character, which is actually a better form of reboot if you want to look at it that way.
Everything's still intact, but a new status quo.
Exactly. I'm not going to take and we're not going to focus on it. See, I don't mind that. If you're going to take and start or restart a book, you're going to do your own things and you're not going to make too many references to the past. That's fine, but when you deliberately eliminate it, that's where I come in, you know? So that's my standpoint.
All right.
Don't ignore the – I mean, don't destroy it, but if you just want to tell fresh stories, you know?
Go create your own book.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have
image.
To destroy the past. You can just create the future.
Exactly. There you go. All right. Well, what do you guys think? Ask us on twitter.com/Warriors3PodCast. Email us at thewarriors3@gmail.com. Or contact or on the greenlandercore.com, where for some reason they're still allowed to exist there. But,
and send us lots of kitten photos. We love kitten photos.
Well, let's move on to the book of the week, which this is a book – we haven't made this the book of the week in a while, and the last time I wanted to review this, I wanted to burn it to hell. this Secret Avengers number 16, written by Warren Ellis, who's kind of disappeared from comics. And Jamie McKelvey, who is a man, not a woman. This is a one-and-done issue. There's an underground – basically the premise is Moon Knight, Captain Steve, and Black Widow all in an underground city in Cincinnati that nobody knew was there. And apparently the Shadow Council is building a citywide Doom Time platform, which is the shit Warren Ellis was famous for back in the 2000s, these big shit cosmic ideas. Oh, and the Beast was there too. I liked the story. It was a typical Warren Ellis story. I liked the gun he created where it shoots out a familiar weapon. If you look at what Captain America shoots out, it shoots out the triangle shield. Or it
Great.
Shoots out two of them. Moon Knight. You know, it was just sort of fun. And the only reason I really bought this issue was because of Jamie McKelvey, who, if you've come on thegreenlanterncore.com, I'm a huge fan of his art. But for the largest part, in most of his career, it's his art is talking heads, a little bit of motion, but he hasn't been able to prove to do action sequences. And I actually thought he did a really good action sequence with Moon Knight fighting, and of course the other pages as well, but the spotlight that I can think of, that I remember is the Moon Knight stuff. You know, it just looked beautiful. And the double page spread of Moon Knight's white cape, and you see the city in the background, or the underground city in the background. I'm like, oh, that's just beautiful, that's just awesome, you know. And the thing he just drew all that, so I thought it was a fun issue. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but you know, it was out of separated from what Fear itself is going on right now. So I enjoyed this. If you want a good one-and-done issue, you know, with some really, really good art, pick up this one. I give this a solid 3.9 out of 5. Taser, what did you think of Secret Avengers number 16?
It was an interesting story. It like you said, it was a one-and-done. There's no lead into it. It comes in where... They're getting into the city, which is the weirdest thing possible. They're being lowered down on a system of winches and counterweights and pulleys and what have you. But we don't see that. We just see them sitting on this platform being lowered in, and they're coming in from the sky. Because this city was built, what they say, it was like a mile underground.
Underneath.
Right. And it looks like a city, but... This is a huge undertaking. Did you guys see how vast that city looked?
Yep.
I would have liked to have seen, where'd they get air? You know?
Like a big M.C. Escher painting.
You know?
Almost.
But it was an interesting story. It's not something that's ever going to be a factor in anything. It doesn't tie itself into anything. Stuff that happens in it, I doubt we'll see it be mentioned anywhere else. You know, it's one of those, it's a transition book, you know. It's not going to factor heavily in anything. It's an okay story. It's fun, but it's like cotton candy. You know, it tastes great, but it's not too filling. There was this one little bit, though, which I kind of had to scratch my head at, because I don't know what the artist was thinking. Good art, by the way. It told the story. It was nice and it was clean, and it was fun to see Beast give out scientific explanations, and you see Wanda in the front seat, like, rolling her eyes. I was like, oh my God, won't this man ever shut up? I had to laugh at that. But there's that bit where Moon Knight is descending on those Shadow Council, you know, gunners in that Jeep, and he hits the Jeep and it caves the Jeep in, like the engine block.
Yeah.
He hits it with his feet hit the engine and it crunches. You know, the Jeep stops and the guys flip out. I'm like, hold on. Exactly how much does he weigh that even if he was gliding, because he wasn't flying, he was gliding.
Yep.
How much does he weigh, and how dense is he, that he can hit this Jeep and make it do that, you know? But, you know, the rest of it, it was all right. The other interesting bit would be how Hank solved the problem of trying to stop the city from being, you know, ported into wherever they were going to send it. And then he's, like, kind of going, well, how many people do you think I just killed? And Steve, who's really like, Mr. Let's move it on, don't think about it, don't worry about it, you got the job done. He goes, try to think of it as, how many people did you save? Do that calculation, you'll sleep better. And that's it. End of story.
I'm not going to lie, when I read it, I'm like, that's it?
Okay. Exactly. It's cotton candy. It's light, it tasted good, it got you through, but it doesn't stay with you and you're, you know, kind of ready for the next one. So yeah, I'm ready for issue 17. You know, this was a transition book, you know, nothing more, nothing less. And it did its job. I don't have a problem with it. I would give it 3.2 warriors out of 5.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the whole book, I mean, ever since Brubaker left, the whole book's kind of been in limbo. So, I mean, if Avengers books can get cut, this is, to me, this is the prime candidate, you know, I mean. I don't know how.
I would miss that. You know, I wouldn't want that to happen.
The thing is, it's been a whole, like, the whole thing is espionage, and it hasn't really lived up to that. And the next 6 issues are done in ones, all by Warren Ellis with different artists. So, who knows if there's. I don't know. To me, there's really not a reason for this book to exist anymore.
I like Strike Force Avengers.
But it hasn't, to me, like, I read the first year of it. It was mostly Brubaker playing with Captain America on a team, and he didn't know how to write a team book. I don't know if they ever get it back to Captain America and his Strike Force team. Yes, but for now the book is in limbo, and I will be dropping it again because I only picked it up for the artist. Arnold, what did you think of Secret Avengers number 16?
I actually rather enjoyed this issue. I thought it was a good, as we've said, one and done, done and one kind of book. I did not know about the next series of issues being done in ones all by Warren Ellis, so that's cool to know. I enjoyed it mostly a lot of the banter between people in this book, between, you know, just the Beast Moon Knight banter where he tells him he's basically a borderline psychopath, so that's why he gets the kind of gun that he gets, and that's why Cap gets the kind of weapon that he can get. And the banter between Cap and Natasha and how he's just flat out telling her, your weapon doesn't work in short range, and then she's like, oh, I think it works fine in medium range. He's like, hey, you got lucky, don't get smug. It's like, dude, whoa, like we're just brushing off people's talents left and right. I also liked, again, just you're a clever man, do the math, it'll help you sleep, and off we go. Like, you've got no time to think about shit like this. We've got to move on to the next thing. I'm going to give this issue a 3.5. The art was great. I did love that city scene. I know people don't say this often, but I would have been completely comfortable with another splash page of just a different view of this city from like a different angle or a different part of the city to see what else was going on down there. Because, I mean, just looking in the background of this thing, there's this huge, almost globe-looking thing in the middle of it. You've got tunnels and roads going through buildings, like all kinds of crazy shit's going down on this page. I would have been A-OK with another splash page full of that kind of stuff. 3.5, it was a good read. I'll check out some of the others. I'm glad to see Warren Ellis. I have liked stuff that he has written before, so good times.
Yeah, well, after this, I think he's going away because he's writing a novel or something, so.
Oh, well, I'll pick up that.
Bye-bye, Warren Ellis. Speaking of novels, Super Gods by Grant Morrison is fucking awesome. I also really want to meet Jamie at a convention and have him do not a sketch, a full commission of Spider-Man. Like, pay him, because I love his art that much. And I don't usually want to do that, but he's one of my favorite artists out there. But let's move on to individual reviews, and I'm about to get very negative up in this bitch. I'm reviewing Amazing Spider-Man number 6. Who the fuck cares right now? This is part 2 of the Spider Island stuff, and basically, the story is Peter Parker is Spider-Man's a liability because there's a whole bunch of people in spider suits, and the Avengers don't want to hit him, so they tell him, you're sidelined, you're benched. But so what he does is, because he notices everybody's getting spider powers, hey, if people aren't spider powers, I could be fight with them. Yay! Boo. To me, basically, that's the story, and him and Carly are going to go fight something. I've been reading Spider-Man since January of 1993, or not reading it, but I've owned every single issue of Amazing Spider-Man since January 1993, and I am officially dropping this title. This was immensely terrible to me. And not just this one issue. You've heard me on this podcast, in this very podcast, talk about my lamency for this book. It's felt lackluster ever since February of this year for a bi-monthly book that's long enough for you to turn it around. And I can't Ramos, for I liked him when he first started on this big time, but he's reverted back to whatever to that crap I hated him for. I don't know what it is. And it's frustrating. Like, I can't stand the jokey, like, Spider-Man's jokey. And I get that, and I love that he is, but this felt way too damn jokey, and it's been like this for a while. I can't stand the fucking Jackal. I think he's a retarded use of a villain. I don't know why they want to bring up backup clone memories of the Clone Saga in this book, and it's not even that. It's just the book isn't doing it for me anymore. I've read this book for a very fucking long time. As of now, until Slott leaves and whoever the next creative team is, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I've said 1,000 times, if you don't like the book, drop it. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, I'm doing that same thing. I am no longer reading Amazing Spider-Man. I can't do this. Let me know when Slott's off the book, and I will come back and I will read it. I will read Avenging Spider-Man in November, but until then,
bring it all on. I want it all.
Amazing Spider-Man,
Bring back the Scarlet Spider hoodie.
I have one more day, Amazing Spider-Man.
Bring it all back.
0 out of 5.
I'm digging it. I really don't think it was that bad.
You haven't been reading this title as long as I have.
How long have you been reading comics?
In terms of, I've been reading Amazing Spider-Man since at least 95.
Since at least 95?
I own every single issue since 93, but I own every single issue.
Regardless of how long you've been reading Spider-Man, trust me, I've been reading Spider-Man more than long enough for things to have an effect on me. Because if I wasn't reading Spider-Man long enough, BND and OMD would have pissed me off as much as it did. So whether or not how long I've been reading it in regards to my idea that I don't think it deserves a 0 out of 5 doesn't really have any bearing. I thought this issue was actually really quite good and quite fun. And honestly, when I go to a Spider-Man book, I'm expecting something that is almost but not as extreme as a Deadpool book. There's going to be humor in the middle, beginning, and end with the action thrown in here and there. Or even so much so, Booster Gold. Booster Gold's a funny dude. He's throwing quips and this and that left and right, but he's still getting his action and shit done. We're on the second issue of this. From an art standpoint, it's dropping in points on me because I hate Humberto Ramos, period. Whether he was on a good run or on a bad run, I think I'm just not a fan of his art at all. Half the people's body parts look like they could shotgun a beer. Like, it's obnoxious. There are more jagged edges than I've ever seen. Like, if it was a Disney movie, all of the characters would be evil. Like, because that's how they differentiated evil characters. But I think this book at least gets a 3 out of 5 from me anyway. Sorry to jump in on the review, but I'm upset. I'm sad that you don't like the direction it's going. Honestly, I think some of the stories with Slott have been better than the garbage we were getting in the beginning after OMD and when all of that stuff and all
that.
Are
you kidding me? That was the time.
No, I'm sorry. Really? So you can't take this seriously, but you can't take a girl who can fold flat as paper and go after because she's stalking a celebrity.
I'm not saying I love Paper Doll. I enjoyed the stuff with Paper Doll more than I've been enjoying the 7 months that I've been expecting for this book to turn around. Paper Doll was in and out. This has been 7 months that I'm like, okay, bi-weekly book, turn it around, nothing. Same thing with Brightest Day.
I think it's got better than when it started. You think it deserves a 0. I think it still definitely gets a 3. And I'll repeat again, the length of time that you or I have been reading Spider-Man has no bearing on that, because trust me, I probably know just as much as you do on the subject.
Either way, I told this to Kuhan I'm talking on Skype. He was actually fucking shocked. Even Chris is shocked that I'm dropping the book. But I'm not. I'm sticking to my guns until Slott. Again, I'm not saying never. You know, maybe I'll come back later. But as long as Slott's on the book, I will not be reading this title anymore. Bring on the Avenging Spider-Man. Taser, a Spider Island tie-in. Shang-Chi.
Anyway, I read what the hell was this title called again? Holy
crap. Shang-Chi, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I read. Basically, Shang-Chi has been having dreams about, you know, fighting somebody called Fat Cobra and, you know, spiders.
Wait, Fat Cobra was in this?
No.
Oh.
That's who he has been. He had the impression of fighting them, okay? And he wakes up and, you know, it's a nightmare. Apparently it's something that has been happening fairly recently and more than once. So he wakes up and decides to, maybe I need to resolve this, I have to go see somebody, and he goes outside, and we're in the middle of this Spider Island business look, everybody's Spider-Man, and, you know, I wasn't aware, because I'm not reading it, that for the most part, the people that are running around and doing whatever are badniks and hooligans and ruffians,
yeah.
But I just thought it was funny, you got Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi apparently also has acquired spider powers. And he goes out into the thick of it, and you see Reed, and you see Wolverine, and actually, I could have sworn we saw Bucky. I'm not sure, but it looked like we had Bucky there, so I was kind of like, oh, why? But
dead.
Yeah, I have to go back and take another look at it, but I could have sworn I saw him. But Shang-Chi, he runs into, in the midst of fighting, runs into Iron Fist, and he kind of goes, oh, there goes my friend Iron Fist. ha-ha, it's a good thing I ran into him, la-la-la. So they kick the crap out of some guy, and they end up back-to-back. And then they just start kind of, like, doing certain moves that are like, oh, wow, these guys have kind of practiced before, okay. And his internal, a lot of it is his internal monologue where he talks about how he's been called the master kung fu, but in reality he is no master. Kung fu is the master, and he is but a student, a servant, because no man can really claim that. To claim that would be presumptuous, and that is not his way. During the midst of their fighting various spider drake people, during the midst of them fighting, what was it? The Bride of Nine Spiders, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
that was her name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, she shows up, and excuse me, I have to preface this first. Shang-Chi goes to see the new Madame Web, okay, who I think was the Spider-Woman before.
Yeah, she was Arachne.
She was old Arachne.
Arachne. Well, she's the new Madame Web. She's all in red, and she's got like some shawl and glasses and whatever. And mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell's going on with that, but anyway, he goes to see her and ask her to explain what the dreams are about, and she tells him that she sees, in regards to him, she sees a man who is not a man, a spider who is not a spider, and a woman in darkness who shines, and a woman in light who is dark, and, you know, it's like kind of, and he actually said so much. He said, "Can you cryptic much?" And she's
being
like,
cryptic is like being a woman with a vendetta.
Oh!
Stan Lee said that himself.
So that's basically the gist of what she tells him. She can't tell him anymore. And then he jumps into the middle of it, runs into Iron Fist, and da-da-da-da, and then Bride of Night Spider shows up. So they just leave, okay? Iron Fist and her, they just leave. And Shang-Chi, he goes, well, I don't know why they're leaving, but something tells me I better follow them. Let me put on my Sherlock Holmes hat and pipe, and let me follow them. La, 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 la. So he follows them up to a roof, and the lady questions Iron Fist about something. And, you know, he kind of goes, well, actually, he has her stop. And he's like, okay, you got to tell me what's going on here. Where are we going? What's going on? Da, 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 da. And she's like, well, do you trust me? He's like, yeah, you know I trust you. Da, da, da. And then she cold clocks him, you know, drops him. I'm like, that's Iron Fist. You can't beat up. But then she starts doing some webbing stuff, and I'm like, ooh, she got the powers. I didn't read Immortal Iron Fist or whatever that story was called. That what was it, ran like 20 issues?
27, correct.
Excuse me. But I didn't read it. I heard it was good, but I just didn't get into it. But she apparently has abilities, or maybe it's something that happened because of this. I don't know. And
Bride of Nine Spiders?
Yes. Shang-Chi.
I don't think she could ever spew. She never did it, but I don't think
she
ever actually
webbing.
I think that's a result of the Spider Island stuff.
Okay, possibly. Possibly. Shang-Chi surmises that maybe something about that is going on because he notes that these two have abilities, but they're not affected by whatever's going on, so maybe them having abilities has something to do with it, because he is just human, whatever. But either way, she beats Iron Fist with the whole Spider-Man, Spider-Woman thing, and she's got Iron Fist all, like, coated in webs, like, she's gonna suck him dry! But then Shang-Chi gets into the middle of it, and Shang-Chi starts kicking that ass. I mean, A, he kind of knows what's going on, and B, yeah, he's got answers for all of her moves. But then she pulled out the, hey, I'm going to hit you with spider webbing in the face, and then co-clock you, and bum, 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 you know, he's down. I'm like, one hit, punk, and she's not really concerned with him. For whatever reason, Iron Fist is what matters. And you hear her going, you know, as both men are knocked unconscious, and that's where we end the book. It was an interesting read. It was a better read than Secret Avengers. The art kind of lent itself towards, I don't know, pseudo dream state. You know, like like you're kind of awake, but not entirely. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. Overall, I'd have to give the whole book... Sorry. I'd give it a 3.7. I always enjoy Shang-Chi stuff. You know, I'm a big fan of Shang-Chi. So, yeah. I give it a 3.7 Warriors out of 5.
All right, and last but not least, Arnold dipping back into the Ultimate Universe with Ultimate Comics Punisher. I mean, Hawkeye, number one.
Yes, Ultimate Comics Hawkeye number one, the second book in the series of new number ones coming out from the Ultimate Comic Universe. I'm giving all of the number one issues a shot to see where I'm going to jump in again, kind of in the Ultimate Comics realm of things. Ultimate Comics Spider-Man is obviously a definite, because I want to see where that's going, and I've been following it for many, many years, well, for pretty much as long as I've been reading comics. I'll definitely jump into Ultimate X-Men to see where some of those characters go.
I pity you, my good sir.
Again, like I said, nothing is a definite keep. I'm just giving all of the number ones a shot. Some stuff at the number one is already making me decide that I want to drop it. Others are still going to get the old three-issue college try, and if you don't grab it by then it's a done deal. With Ultimate Comics Talk, I think the reason why I kind of latched on more to the Spider-Man and X-Men side of things is... at the time, and even maybe still now, I'm still kind of drawn to the superhero-y thing and the cape and cowl, for lack of a better term. I always forget that the Hawkeye books and the Ultimate Avengers books, they're very, I guess, political-heavy, I guess you could say. I don't know another way to put it. They're based on a post-9/11 Yeah, it's
world.
Very much blatant that the Avengers is, you know, we are the government's super team. Like, everything we do has to go through proper channels, and you get all the bureaucracy, and I guess it's more, it's a little bit more realistic. If you had stuff going on like that in this world, it would kind of lean more in this direction than it would to be everybody's throwing on a costume and just jumping out in the middle of the street doing whatever they want. So I do like that aspect of it. I did really like this issue. It's, again, Hickman, who I have been reading, and been reading since the Fantastic Four stuff, and his work on S.H.I.E.L.D. that I've also been enjoying, and his current work on FF that I like. So that was another reason to pick it up. I dug it. I'm definitely going to go in for the second issue and see what's going down. It seems there's a lot of crazy kind of serum stuff going on, and it's dealing a lot with the X-Men. And the fact that we found out that the government were the ones that created the X-Men, we have the old commies are getting together again and trying to make a version of it that simultaneously eradicates the X gene, but can also kind of give an X gene, but it's something better and more evolved than that. So it's like their MGH, I guess, their mutant growth hormone. The first person they gave it to, though, lit up like crazy, started spewing some kind of things that seemed prophecy-like, and then died. Or they either died or they killed him. I can't remember. But I want to see where that goes. We had a couple of super-powered guys show up out of nowhere and start wrecking shit. There's going to be a little bit more on them because there are a bit of them running around. The art was good. I liked it. I haven't been reading any of the Avengers stuff, so I kind of forgot what the look of Hawkeye was and all the crazy shit that went on to him that's turning him into the kind of character that
My
he is now.
Family.
Yeah, I know there was some shit like that. And
that was the last good stuff that they did with Hawkeye. After that, they
right.
pretty much...
This
Almost
was all during, like, Ultimates 1 and 2, I think.
Ultimate
like,
Punisher. Ultimate Punisher.
When it was still before Ultimates 3 and Ultimatum and all that happened, the last fond memory, honestly, that I have of Hawkeye was during Ultimates 2 where he was all tied up and my man pulled out his fingernails and flicked it at people and killed them with it.
Awesome!
Which I thought was fucking amazing when I read that the first time. Like, I thought that was really, really cool. And that's really the last thing I remember of Hawkeye. So to go and jump on in a book that where he is the primary focus, I'm digging it. And it's got me intrigued enough that I want to find out what's happening next. So I'm going to give this one a good 3 out of 5.
All right. Well, again, the Ultimate books, they are based on a post 9/11 world. It came out in 2002. So only a couple months after, several months after,
right.
you know, that those events took place. Mark Millar, you know, just read the books. I mean, they're great stories, but it's very much if the Avengers were part
yeah.
of a government response team.
But again, it's very much like what the real world would be in response to that.
The
which
Hulk
I,
actually kills people.
Yeah.
It's scary.
And eats them.
Yeah. And
he also eats them.
And
is fond of eating people in the Ultimate Universe. Hulk, Blob, like...
And everybody... Hulk is apparently horny as a horn dog in Ultimates.
Yeah.
Nice.
But so there you go, and only two more books to go with X-Men and Spider-Man. Black Spider-Man.
I think the next one's Spider-Man, and then followed by X-Men.
Oh, that book's gonna be horrible. Mark my words.
Why? Because it's a Black Spider-Man, huh?
No. Oh, you better hope not. That's the only Spider book you got left.
There's a whole bunch of black people outside my house, but I can't see them.
Ooh.
Let's conclude on that racist note. Episode number 76 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast.
What, that's it? We're done?
We're done.
That's it?
If you want to contact us at thewarriors3@gmail.com. If you want to Twitter us, twitter.com/warriors3pcast. Write us on Facebook. Become a fan on Facebook, courtesy of Mr. Arnold Alford over there, who's doing all our Facebook stuff, which is awesome. Kudos for keeping up with that. Yeah. Our main man, Taser, supplying the porn. Arnold, but what do you have to plug tonight?
Couple of things. One is Labor Day weekend, so shout out to all my West Indian folks, you know, getting it done.
Holla!
Holla to all the Dominicans out there. That is not to be confused with Dominican. We are a different country, West Indian country, Dominica. Shout out to y'all. Hope everybody's having fun at the parade and nobody's acting a fool. The other thing I do have to
when
plug
you said that,
is,
I could have sworn I heard your neck roll.
Maybe. Maybe. Another thing I want to plug is a web-based, internet-based TV series of sorts. It's kind of in the realm of film noir and fantasy that a friend of mine has just started called the Tarot Chronicles. It is a 1940s detective story with some magic thrown in there. One of the ways they describe it is think Dick Tracy meets Harry Potter, just without the kiddie elements of Harry Potter. But just a quick rundown, it's about a detective who discovers a dangerous mystery in this world of tarot. They've kind of crossed over into our world and are fucking up the natural order of things. So it becomes his mission to find them, and he's got to send them back.
So every single anime that has ever happened.
It's somewhat like that. It's anime. As I've seen some of it already, though. It doesn't fall into a lot of those tropes. It's not like they're having card battles in the middle of the street and stuff like that. Like, it was just...
So you don't have to catch them all?
Right. It's not Card Captain Sakura or anything in that nature. They're trying to get it off the ground. They have a site. The name of the site's a little bit lengthy for me to post, so I'll throw it up on our message board or on the Facebook page. They have a Kickstarter page where they are trying to get backers and pledges for donations, so it'll be funded and picked up and, you know, produced, and I guess if they reach a goal of $12,000 by the end of the month, you do get some, there is some incentive for donating. They'll give you a downloadable PDF of the script, or you'll get free copies of the actual full run of the show, things like that. So again, I'll post it up on our site. You can find them also on Facebook at facebook.com/the Tarot Chronicles. Give them a look see. Something to check out, something that you may or may not like, or, you know, didn't think you'd be into or would be into. Give it a shot.
All right, real quick before I go to you, Taser, speaking of plugs, I want to plug a web show called, and I've said this before, but I haven't done it in a while. They just started their season 2, AvengersTheSeries.com. It's a web episode where it's people who are cosplaying. They're actually at Dragon Con right now. I'm pretty sure they're already leaving. But it's a web series with the Avengers in the real world, dealing with real-life situations, don't ask, don't tell, foreclosures. It's especially Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because I think Simon Wonderman is gay and is pretty fucking hilarious. So be sure to check them out. It was actually one of the actors who tweeted me on Twitter about it. So there you go, the power of connection. And I'm hopefully to working out an interview with them, because I really want to talk to them. Plus, Miss Marvel is really hot in real life. Taser, do you have anything special to say tonight?
Yeah. I like rice.
Rice is nice.
Uncle Ben's rice is even better.
Actually, I like Aunt Jemima.
She can go suck my...
Exactly. Y'all want pancakes?
You sound like the black lady that lives across the street from me.
TV.
Do I have anything seriously? I gotta say, nothing comes to mind, which really isn't too much of a stretch considering it's me. But no, I'm free and clear. I'll just do like Arnold says, and yo, if y'all at the parade this tomorrow.
I was just having the debate about that. I thought it was on Sunday. We were making jokes that everybody gets their parade on like the day of the holiday, but the minorities and the mini groups, we have to do it on Sunday. you look at it, Gay Pride parades on Sunday, Puerto Rican Day parades on Sunday. I think the parade might have been today. I could be wrong, though.
Well, I didn't look at anything because I've been playing freaking Borderlands on Xbox Live all freaking day.
Nice.
So I have no idea what's happened in the world. But I will say this. Myself and Frack from the TLCMB, we're both going to be getting into Dead Island. So,
yeah. If
you're looking into jumping in, if you want to play with us, because we're buying it both at launch, so that means this Wednesday, if you want to get into play, Arnold, that means you, and I know, Ben, you don't have an Xbox, so you
I
suck.
I have PS3.
Yeah, like I
I'll
said.
I'll have to use my roommate's Xbox, because mine is dead as well.
But, yeah, if you want to jump in, just send either one of us a tell, and we'll share you the info. You can come in with us, and we could all watch, go exploring together, because we're jumping in together day one and seeing what's what. So,
nice.
There you go.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes episode number 76. So, in the name of the moon, we're going to see you next week, episode number 77.
Oh, one last thing before we go. It must be said. Fuck Geoff Johns.
Reboot!
He sucks. The devil.
Reboot.
Devil!
See y'all next week, guys.